It might seem ironic that a person who spends most of her time thinking of strategies of resistance and plotting to disrupt the putative peace is given a peace prize. You must remember that I come from an essentially feudal country, and there are few things more disquieting than a feudal peace. Sometimes there's truth in old cliches. There can be no real peace without justice, and without resistance, there will be no justice. Today, it is not merely justice itself, but the idea of justice that is under attack. The assault on vulnerable, fragile sections of society is at once so complete, so cruel, and so clever, all-encompassing and yet specifically targeted, blatantly brutal and yet unbelievably insidious, that its sheer audacity has eroded our definition of justice. It has forced us to lower our sights and curtail our expectations. Even among the well-intentioned, the expansive, magnificent concept of justice is gradually being substituted with the reduced, far more fragile discourse of human rights. If you think about it, this is an alarming shift of paradigm. The difference is that notions of equality, of parity, have been pried loose and eased out of the equation. It's a process of attrition. Almost unconsciously, we begin to think of justice for the rich and human rights for the poor, justice for the corporate world, human rights for its victims, justice for Americans, human rights for Afghans and Iraqis, justice for the Indian upper castes, human rights for the Dalits and Adivasis, that's the indigenous people and untouchables, if that. Justice for white Australians, human rights for Aboriginals and immigrants, most times not even that. It's becoming more than clear that violating human rights is an inherent and necessary part of the process of implementing a coercive and unjust political and economic structure on the world. Without the violation of human rights on an enormous scale, the neoliberal project would remain in the dreamy realm of policy. But increasingly, human rights violations are being portrayed as the unfortunate, almost accidental fallout of an otherwise acceptable political and economic system, as though they're a small problem that can be mopped up with a little extra attention from some NGOs. This is why in areas of heightened conflict, in Kashmir and in Iraq, for example, human rights professionals are beginning to be regarded with a degree of suspicion. Many resistance movements in poor countries which are fighting huge injustice and questioning the underlying principles of what constitutes liberation and what constitutes development view human rights NGOs as modern-day missionaries who've come to take the ugly edge off imperialism, to diffuse political anger and to maintain the status quo. It has been only a few weeks since a majority of Australians voted to re-elect Prime Minister John Howard, who, among other things, led Australia to participate in the illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq. The invasion of Iraq will surely go down in history as one of the most cowardly wars ever fought. It was a war in which a band of rich nations, armed with enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world several times over, rounded on a poor nation, falsely accused it of having nuclear weapons, used the United Nations to force it to disarm, and then invaded it, occupied it, and are now in the process of selling it. I speak of Iraq not because everybody's talking about it, sadly at the cost of leaving other horrors in other places to unfurl in the dark, but because it is a sign of things to come. Iraq marks the beginning of a new cycle. It offers us an opportunity to watch the corporate military cabal that has come to be known as empire at work. In Iraq, in the new Iraq, the gloves are off. as the battle to control the world's resources intensifies. Economic colonialism through formal military aggression is staging a comeback. Iraq is the logical culmination of the process of corporate globalization in which neo-colonialism and neoliberalism have fused. If we can find it in ourselves to peep behind the curtain of blood, we would glimpse the pitiless transactions taking place backstage.